Our gospel lesson, we found in Luke chapter 12. I invite you to stand. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming.' And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat.' And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer puts you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we are all still standing, please receive this, our scripture text for the sermon today. The words of our Lord from the Sermon on the Mount. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accusers hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." This is the word of the Lord, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing and to shape our lives so that we may live lives pleasing to you. Spirit of God, be present in conviction and in confirmation, for we bear your name, the name of the Most High God, and we long to do so honorably. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. You may be seated. Anger and wrath happens. Children in this sanctuary right now have been angry. Parents have been angry. Husbands and wives have been angry. Anger and wrath happens, and when we are deceived, we think that our anger is right and justified. We can always explain it and defend it or excuse it. Instead of being ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us, we are ready to give a reason for the wrath that rises up within us. Yes, there is such a thing as righteous anger or righteous indignation. However, that is likely not as common in our lives and in our experience as we might think it is. Yes, it is possible, as the Apostle Paul said, to be angry and sin not. It's just that it's more often that we are being angry and sinning, is it not? Still, we are quick to conclude that our wrath is right and our anger is righteous. This is because it is our anger. We are seeing and doing things our way, the way we want things to be done. Our anger tints and taints things, including our view of anger, including our view of our anger. While anger may be the seeing of red, we commonly deceive ourselves and think that the red we are seeing is a lovely flower garden, perhaps of red roses. We tend to think that if it is ours, it is righteous. Righteous this and righteous that. Righteous. That word is used. In which, in response, we probably need to hear that oft-quoted line from that swordsman of old: "You keep using that word, I do not think it means what you think it means. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. In this passage before us, we have our Lord's teaching concerning wrath, anger, and reconciliation. Our Lord is presenting the gospel of the kingdom here, the way of kingdom citizenship, the way of kingdom behavior, the way of kingdom relationships. After the blesseds, after the beatitudes, blessed are thee, he now begins with anger and murder and the command to be ready and quick to reconcile. So let's walk through the passage. But something needs to be done when we walk through this passage. It's a note that we all know and tend to put off to the side or wrinkle it up or fold it up and put it in a pocket. A note. It is possible to be in the environment of the Lord's commands and to not have the Lord's commands in us. It is possible to hear the word, but that does not mean that hearing the word, that the word has taken root. One of the greatest concerns of covenant children is this: they are going through the motions. One of the greatest concerns of the Christian life is that we are just going through the motions and that we're hearing the word, but the word is not taking root. That is addressed here. Verse 21, you have heard that it was said in previous times to the ancients of old. And our Lord then cites the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Jesus then speaks of that which flows from the breaking of that commandment. And whoever murders will be liable to the judgment. Everyone agrees so far. Everyone bobbles and nods the head. Everyone knows this. Or do they? The heads nod in agreement most readily because we have not lifted a hand or a weapon against another so as to take his or her life. I've not lifted my hand. I've never picked up a weapon against someone. I think I have kept this commandment. I can nod. The sixth commandment is concerned with the unlawful taking of human life. But is it only concerned with a corpse? Is the sixth commandment reducible to the raw removal of life, to the expiration of breath? Our Lord goes to the root of the wrath, to the spark of rage, to the start of murder. By the way, what Jesus is going to say here is in agreement with the sixth commandment. Jesus is not saying, that was said, now I say this. He is saying, that was said, and I say this. So he says in verse 22, but I say unto you, or and I say unto you, that everyone, no one can say, I'm taking a nap now, but I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Jesus starts with the seed of anger or the acorn of anger. And if it is left to grow, it will result in the oak of murder. Jesus speaks of the one here in this passage of the one who is, and allow me to illustrate, carrying his anger, wrapping himself or herself in his anger, retaining anger, nursing a grudge. A walk into the Greek kitchen for just a moment. It is a present active participle, which means it is ongoing. This person is marked by this. I say to you that everyone who is already caring about being angry, always ready with anger. One writer said this: this refers to the anger of the man who nurses his wrath to keep it warm at a lower oven Turn that to warm. Okay, we're going to move this dish now down. It's always ready. You need some? It's in the lower oven. It's always ready. I don't even need to microwave this. It's ready. It's warm. The Greek word, or gidzimai, is where we get the word ogre. Ogre. It has become the person. The person who is caring about his anger against his brother has become this. C.S. Lewis in The Great Divorce encountered in that story someone who grumbled quite a bit. And the guide in The Great Divorce said, if that grumbling was to continue, it would mark them and they would become a grumbler. It's one thing to grumble, it's another thing to become a grumbler. It's one thing to golf, it's another thing to become a golfer. One writer commented on this. The word, as indicated, points to a kind of portable anger. It's portable. I'll take this with me. I'm ready. The writer goes on. Resents might give a better meaning, for resentment is a continued anger. Resentment is anger prolonged, anger carried around. Hey, how you doing? I'm ready. Don't cross me. It happens in marriages and in friendships. Happens between brother and sister. Don't cross. You can see the look on. Don't even go there. Not a good day. Don't even go there. Jesus knows, and we know, that this kind of retained, carried about anger does not live alone. It is not a bachelor. It goes out on the town, and it produces a harvest of speech. It is a speaking which reveals the heart. Jesus continues, whoever insults, one translation says, or says to his brother, Raka, will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of the Gehenna of fire, the trash dump outside of Jerusalem that was always smoldering. You're going to smolder? They're smoldering there. This person says this, you're going to be guilty of the hell of fire. Hell of fire. Raka. Fool. Two statements. By the way, haraka is borrowed from the Aramaic. And by the way, that's vogue even today. We'll borrow a word from a foreign language just to show how sinfully savvy we can be. I'll take that word and just fire it off. People are going, ooh. Wow, you've got a laser-guided missile that you bought from another country. Kraka. It's a statement about somebody who lacks worth. They are worthless. Fool, a statement about somebody lacking wisdom. They are wicked. By the way, the first one, haraka, is a mental comment. They're just lacking it here. The second one is a moral statement, because wisdom in the Scriptures is always moral. It's not just a matter of data. By the way, this does not deny the existence of fools in the Bible. This does not deny the existence of fools in life. The Scriptures are clear in pointing out fools and foolish behavior. That's not what Jesus is referring to here. The Proverbs are filled with it. And by the way, there are many fools in Scripture. One of them is even named fool. Nabal. That's what his name means in Hebrew, fool. James speaks of people being foolish or empty in James 2:20. Paul speaks of the foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? And then to the church in Ephesus, he says, stay away from foolish talk. Don't speak foolishly. Jesus himself said in Luke 24, O foolish ones and slow of heart. What's going on here? Remember, this is a carrying it about. This is not an honest recognition of that which is foolish. This is referring to retained anger, holding it in and holding it over others, even your children, even your spouse. even your fellow church members. Please note something that is quite sobering. These are terms that are applied to one's own family members. Angry with his brother, says to his brother. These are broken relationships, and the person that is retaining the anger is breaking them further and farther. Jesus removes all of this idea of anger and holding grudges and retaining this from some abstract notion of loving one another. We are very good at loving others in our minds. Oh yeah, I really love them. I love them in my intentions. I intend to be loving. We can love people from a distance. We love people in other countries, other parts of the city. We can love the body of Christ over there. But it's a tad more difficult to do it right here with that person, in that pew, in that family. By the way, we need to learn to give thanks. This is how the Lord trains us. We talked about this at the men's discipleship yesterday morning. The Lord gives us the opportunities to grow with one another through how do I learn how to forbear unless I have something to forbear with? How do I learn how to forgive unless I... There's our passage so far. So far, our passage is doing this. So let's look back at the passage. Jesus, what we have here is someone who is so filled with himself or herself that that person is a disciple of themselves. He is all about his words and his opinions. She is all about herself. He or she is ready to hold on to or retain offenses and then is therefore ready to pass judgment. I've been carrying this around. I think I know. I'm going to render a judgment. Like Jonah in our Old Testament reading today, such people think they have a right to be angry, thus righteous indignation, and then to spew forth their judgments upon or about others to their way of thinking. That person lacks the mental capacity or the moral ability. How does this happen? Oh, wait a minute. Where does this happen? We're still looking back now. Where does this happen? You know what? This may happen all alone. When you're all alone in the judgmental recesses of your minds. But you know what the Lord knows? You're sitting there thinking and you're just steaming over that person. And what you're doing is you're building a case, you're making an argument. Can happen alone. You know what else it may happen? You may share this with family members at home, on the way home, around the table. You take a drive. I need to talk to you about somebody. I'll tell you, let me tell you what, I got to warn you. Seed, we protect it. We water it, keep the weeds away from the seeds. You also may sharingly and caringly share your opinion with others, a friend or somebody that you've just gotten to know. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you what I think about so-and-so. Sometimes you're asked. Don't go there. If you're retaining something, if you've got a seething seed bed down there, somebody asks you, don't go there. And don't do this. No, I can't talk about that. You're doing the same thing. You asked me about Joe Slobotnik, can't go there. Nope. I got to control myself. You're not controlling yourself. Less is more there. You know what? Right to know and need to know. You know what? I don't want to go there. They're not here. Joe Slobotnik's not here. I don't want to go there. So sometimes you may be asked, what do you think about something or someone? Or what is bothering you? Because you put it on your face. And you'll sit there and you'll sit off in the corner. So you want someone to come up to you. You know, might as well have a bumper sticker. Sitting there, somebody comes up. You all right? Oh, I can't tell you now. You know what? I'll follow up with you. I'll text you later. A simple word from James is sufficient right now. James 1:20. The anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Consider, that should be the bumper sticker. The anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. What right do you have to be angry, Jonah? I told you this was going to happen. I'm even angry about this plant. I didn't have anything to do with this plant. It gave me shade. I like the shade. Shade's gone. Worm ate the worm. Oh, worm ate the plant. The anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. And Jesus is clear. Judgment is inevitable for such murderers. Those who are guilty of what Matthew Henry called heart murder. Or we could call speech murder. There's no corpse. But we're sure spewing the daggers. These are those who are willing to retain offenses against others. And their spirit is like this. Arms crossed. Glowering. These are the ones who are not willing to forgive. Some real or imagined offense. Let's say it's a real offense. What's your job? You're going to stand and worship. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. The scriptures are clear. Mark 11:25 says, you know what? Stop. You stand praying? Stop and forgive your brother. Forgive right then. But this first part of the passage is about those who are holding on to anger, some real or imagined offense. Well, anyway, you want to see a congregation get ripped apart? Go ahead and hold on to the anger. Go ahead and exalt oneself to some messianic notion. That was not... But there's more. Our Lord keeps the lights on. It's as if it's so bright. The Lord continues. Jesus now, that's what he did before, speaking of someone who's retaining his or her anger, so much so that he or she will speak about it. I don't like this. Now he's going to speak of the case where someone has something against you. And you know it. Jesus continues, the lights are shining. Someone has something against you and you know it. This is not walking around in some kind of, no, don't do that. That's not healthy. In a healthy relationship, people will, they'll deal with things. Not in a, I'm angry. If you don't deal with this, I'm going to be more angry. No. The second portion of this passage is this. You have caused an offense. By the way, sometimes you do it and you didn't even know it. But you've caused an offense. You've promoted some, you've contributed to some grievance. You have done something, said something, you've not done something, and someone is troubled because of you. And you're going along your way. You may be thinking even that they have a problem. You're not allowed to hold a grudge. Because that's already been dealt with. You're going along your way and you're thinking, wow, they've got some kind of problem over there. Or you might even conclude, they're kind of rather immature and they need to get over it. Jesus will not let us get away with that. Here's the case that he gives. Verse 23. You have come to worship. You've come to worship. You are in the middle of worship. You are paying attention to the Lord. You are getting ready to give your offering, which is a part of yourself. Here I am in worship. I'm paying attention to the Lord. What more important thing can be done? It's what I'm called to do. And I'm going to give my offering as part of myself. Okay? Then and there, right then. Again, so it's like this. Then and there, you're doing this. You remember. You know the idea. You're going along, you're worshiping. You think things are fine. And then, oh my. There you remember that your brother, your other, has something against you. You go, oh my. What do I do? We'd be saying, you know what, I'm in the middle of worship. I gotta take care of this right now. You recall this, however. This is brought to mind. You did something. At the very least, someone thought you did something, and they've already told you. Maybe you missed it. Maybe you were a little... And then you think, oh my, the Spirit of God brings it to mind. You're going, oh. You must now get into action. Jesus says, get moving. By the way, this is a passage that I have called the stop, drop, and roll passage. Stop. Some of you may remember in the 1950s, I was not alive in the 1950s, but that's when it started. In the 1960s, I remember in the school system, they had these videos, they're reel-to-reel, we had film, that's what we called them back then, film. They'd click it on, it would chatter, and it would go, and it was about what happens if you catch on fire. In the 1950s, by the way, there were sweaters and clothing, that little sweaters for girls and clothing for boys, cowboy clothing, that were known as very flammable. Also in the industrial segments of the marketplace, there were very flammable clothing. Matter of fact, one of them was, the sweater was called a torch sweater. No kidding. A long pile rayon sweater called a torch sweater. And so the teaching in this would, if you catch on fire, matter of fact, I remember Dick Van Dyke on a commercial rolling on the floor. This is what happens if you get caught on fire. You stop what you're doing. You don't run. By the way, I have a horrible story about that once. I was cooking years ago, and I might tell you the fellowship meal or not. But anyway, you don't run through the house on fire. You stop, and you drop, and you roll. And that's to snuffle out the flames. That's what's going on here. And by the way, Jesus even ends with this fire. You know, this, if you're not going to do this, get ready. So what's going on here? Here, if you're making your offering, you're at the altar even, and there you remember that your brother, your other, has something against you, stop what you're doing. Drop your offering and roll to your brother. That's why I call it the stop, drop, and roll passage. Verse 24, there's a command. Leave your offering there. If this is your offering... Done. I'm going to walk away from that. I'm out of here. First, Jesus says in verse 24, first, be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. You want an epistle, a letter that defends all? Read 1 John. You think you're right with God? How are you with your brother? You think you love God? How are you with your brothers, sisters? Oh, okay. Stop it. Verse 25, this is to be done quickly. Come to terms quickly with your accuser. Remember, you know about this. Somebody says, you know what? You might not have seen this. And by the way, a good godly approach is not an accusation, but an inquiry. Friend, this, by the way, you can cover sin, but if you can't cover it, you've got to confront it in love. You can cover it in love or confront it in love. Not, I'm right. Make an inquiry. Brother, sister, did I see this correctly? And they go, oh, I didn't know that. It's taken care of. Peace. But this is to be done quickly. No delay. Go to your brother right away. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Leave your coffee. Forget lunch. Lose sleep. Stop in the middle of worship. By the way, this is why every Lord's Day we have confession of sin early on. I mean, I grew up in a tradition where sometimes people come to the Lord's table and they'll go, oh, I'm out of fellowship with somebody. And they'll stop right there and they'll go, you know what? Will you forgive me? I did this or said this. This is all supposed to be taken care of because we followed our Lord's instruction here. It's kingdom citizenship here. This is just so clear. If you do not do things quickly, things will get worse. Have you ever let your anger simmer? And then you walked away, you come in a little later and go, I left the burner on. And everything's all dried up. I ruined the pan. Things are going to get, oh, that's nothing compared to this. And Jesus uses everyday terms. Judge, guard, prison. Police, judge and jury, prison. Jesus pointed out a contrast between being quick with something and being long and drawn out. You can be quick about reconciliation or you can drag it out. I'll get there eventually. If you are not quick about reconciliation, something long will happen. You will be in prison until the very last penny is paid. That's going to be long. You will not get out of there until some form of restitution has occurred. All right, let's go ahead and conclude. There's our passage. Kingdom living. It's beautiful when it's lived out. A few points. The commands. The commandment to do no murder has already been present. Jesus does not command, don't be angry. Nowhere does Jesus say don't be angry, because there is such a thing as righteous anger. Well, we need wisdom and maturity for that. So be careful about jumping there, going, whoop, my needle always pegs to righteous indignation. Me, don't go there. What are Jesus' commands, though, in this passage? These are his commands. Leave, just leave your gift. Go, get going, be reconciled, then offer. Those are the commands. That's what Jesus says. You know what the emphasis is? Go get right with one another. What is it that I'm supposed to do here? If the Apostle Paul is right, and he is, I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And if I see people that are at odds with one another, I'm going to say, you know what, I don't need to know the details, but you two need to make things right. Years ago, people wanted to join a different church. They had known each other. They both wanted to join same Sunday. I sat them on the couch and I said, I'm going to get something straight with you. I don't want you joining this church if you can't be right with each other. Are you two at peace? They both said thank you for pointing this out. They confirmed that they were at peace. They both joined the church. Be reconciled. Stop playing games. With regard to these commandments, I want to say something to the fathers and the sons. Fathers, sons, you know what, we, and ladies, wives and daughters, we live in an environment of ought. This is the way things ought to be. Mathematically, it ought to be that way. This angle ought to be this way. And we think in these terms. What is right ethically? What is wrong ethically? What ought to be? Because of that, we have a tendency to be wound up rather tightly when it comes to those in our families. Things ought not to be done that way. Shouldn't have done that, son. And counsel is one thing. Restrained anger is another thing. Holding it against and holding it over. Sometimes we explode and we need to stop. We need to repent of that now. There are sins common to the lot of mankind. There are also sins common to the lot of womankind. And sometimes they'll seethe with just as much anger and resentment as a man who might explode. None of that is allowed in the family of God, in our families. Never. What will you do? Are you going to retain your offenses? Take them to the grave? Pastorally, as I've interacted with other pastors, they're asking me, well, Pastor, what about doing this and what about doing this and doing this? I say, you know what? No longer ask, what can you live with? Ask, what can you die with? You're going to hold that anger all the way to the grave? The Apostle Paul said, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. It's ticking. It's dropping. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Why does he say that? Because when we're retaining our wrath, when we're retaining our anger, it's as if we think we're in charge and that we are the Lord. And we're not trusting the Lord, we're trusting ourselves. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. When you go to bed, put the wrath to bed as well. Go to bed and trust the Lord. clothe yourselves, 1 Peter 5, all of you, with humility toward one another. How do you want to be treated? For God opposes the proud, Simon Peter continues, but gives grace to the humble. And of all people, Simon Peter knew this. Oh Lord, it will never be that way. Get behind me. No, I'm going to stand, even if I have to die with you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. And you're thinking, but I'm so concerned about this. Simon Peter continues, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. You know what happens? We take our wrath and our anger and our froth, and we take it to bed, and we wear it as pajamas. And we say, I'm going to keep this. And then I'll wake up at 2 in the morning, and I'm still sizzling over the whole thing. Sizzling. It's 28 degrees outside. Wake up in the morning. Ooh, don't need any heat. We've held on to it because we're trusting ourselves. And we say, you know what, Lord? You've commanded me to cast all my anxieties upon You, and I'm a kingdom citizen. I want to follow the ways of Christ. I want to have Christ-honoring relationships in His household. I do not want to do murder in heart or in speech, certainly not in hand. And I don't want to retain things against other people. And if other people are concerned, I want to go quickly. Heavenly Father, cause Your word, we pray once again, to sink deeply into our hearing. Beautify this congregation, the men and the women and the children, to be speedy about Your glory and Your honor, and not about their own, our own. I pray this in the matchless name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen.